One of the churches that I had served in the past, where we had a great time, not as much fun as here, but we had a great time there. And one of the leaders of the church told me, just him and me talking, he says, "I am not going to go any further in the Christian life. And this is it. I'm going this far, and that's it. Because Jesus wants me to give up everything that I have, everything that I've worked for. Give up my house, all that I have." And, you know, I didn't know exactly what to say. I probably flubbed and sputtered and said, "Well, you know, whatever Jesus wants you to do something, I don't know if it would be that." Something like that. And I know I didn't satisfy his objection at all. However, all these years later, I thought of a better answer, which I want to share with you. I kind of wished I had said, "What if everything that you have worked for, and the house that you have, and your whole extended family, and your circle of friends, and all the skills that you've gained, Jesus were able to magnify so that other people could be invited into the family of God? Wouldn't you actually need them then in his service?" That would have been great, wouldn't it, if I had done that? Well, maybe not. He still might have said no, or whatever he would have said. But it's the question that's before us. And as we're considering what it is to be called to follow Jesus, one of the things that sometimes comes up in our minds is we think, "I don't want to follow Jesus because there's really something I don't want to give up. There's something I want to hold on to. I don't want Jesus to have it. I want to have it." Especially if it's something that we worked for, or something that is important to us, or something that we have done a lot of time training to do. It is sometimes more attractive at some level for us to keep that in its own compartment, whether that's our work or something else, and then to keep our religious practices in another compartment. And what Jesus does is he calls us for our whole life. And what we do well, what we value and prize and cherish is also a part of that. And it's something that Jesus wants us to see. It's something that he values as well as we do, and perhaps even more. In fact, Jesus gave you the ability to do what you do, to make the living that you make, the influence that you have, whatever it may be. He has given you that, and his restoration and redemption of it is something that will magnify it and increase it in your life. And that's what we see when we start answering the call of Jesus. And that call of Jesus through what we do, where we give all of that to him as well because he asks for it, it has two steps of seeing what that how we do that. And one is to find him, and the other is to follow him. Now that's just kind of, this is an insider trade secret I'm giving you. Finding and following, they both start with the same letter so you can remember them and all that. It's really Jesus is following you and finding you. Really what it is, but I didn't know quite how to put that together in a catchy phrase. So it's finding and following Jesus. And that's what we see in the call of Andrew, Peter, James, and John. There's something about what he did with them that is exactly what he would do with us that has to do with him calling our entire life. So it's finding and following. Another way of doing it, which may be a little more broad and not quite so centered on us, dependent on us, is this. It's discernment and discipleship. Discernment and discipleship. And that's perhaps a little more to the core and to the heart of what Jesus is asking us, because his core focus, the thing he wants us to do the most, is make disciples. That is the primary call on you and on me, to make disciples, to become a disciple of Jesus to the degree that other people become a disciple of Jesus. And there is no way around that. There is no explanation of it that softens it. There is nothing to do to make it better. That's it. That's what distinguishes us from every other organization. That's the core. And it comes with discerning for him first and then following after him, which is what discipleship is. Or is everyone encouraged so far? We're ready to go? I'll take that as a yes. Because when Jesus, as Bonhoeffer said, when Christ calls someone to follow, he calls that person to die. And that's the process of discipleship, death, burial, and resurrection. That's the calling on our life. And sometimes it has to do with what we do best. In fact, it often has to do with what we do best. So here we have Philip and Andrew and Peter and Philip, all these guys around there, and Jesus is coming along, and he sees them, and they see him, and Jesus says, "Follow me." And what they need to do is to see who it is that they're following. And that's discernment of Jesus. That's finding Jesus. That's recognizing Jesus. That's seeing exactly who he is. And that is the first step into a lifestyle, if you will, of discipleship. It is who exactly are you following. It's not just taking any discipline because it's good to be disciplined. It's a discipline which hones us to be just like him. And the first step for that is, who is he? Finding him. Sometimes, as I mentioned a minute ago, that's called discernment. And discernment is really recognizing the spirit that is present. More popular use is that discernment is wisdom. You see a problem, you figure out what to do about it. I prefer to call that wisdom, actually, instead of discernment, because discernment is very spiritual. It is recognizing the exact spirit that is right there. Discernment of the presence of Jesus is seeing that he is present right there. Where is Jesus present? How is he present? What is he doing? What is he doing here among us? There's a discernment of Jesus among us when we gather. And that can happen anywhere and everywhere because Jesus is anywhere and everywhere. Where can I go from your spirit? David said in Psalm 139. And there's this long list of places you could go and you can't get away from them. The short answer is nowhere. Everywhere we go, Jesus will be present. Discernment is the spiritual ability he gives us to recognize him wherever we may be. And it is also not only physically where we are, but also emotionally, as well as spiritually. Whether you're down, depressed, mixed up, confused, whatever it may be. As we've looked at many, many times, he is right there in the middle of it. And one of the core, I want to call it shifts. One of the core shifts that has to be made among us is this. We have been invited by many people to invite Jesus into our lives. And many of you have heard that, taken that step yourself. And what I want to encourage us to think about so that we get the discernment of the presence of Jesus wherever we are is to turn that completely around where we begin to understand that Jesus has invited us into his life. And that the life that we are living is the life of Christ. I'm not suggesting there's anything wrong with inviting Jesus into your life. That's an excellent thing. It can become a little bit boxed in there we have Jesus into our life so that my life will be better. If I have Jesus in my life, then things will go really well. Then you've probably already discovered that's not the case. That won't always be the way that it is. And that when we are in any kind of a situation when we've begun to see that we have been invited into the life of Jesus and our life is covered, overwhelmed by His, baptized, if you will, by immersion into Him, then things look different. We begin to discern where He is, no matter what is going on around us, no matter how it is, no matter what challenge we face, especially the challenge from Jesus. When He says, that thing you prize the most, that thing you love doing, that thing that you want more than anything else, it's mine. Return it to me. And then together, let's see what we do with it. That's the discernment that we follow. And then what Jesus does, he says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of people. As in the translation we use today, fishers of men is probably what you're a little more familiar with in some translations. What's very interesting about that, when Jesus says, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. In other words, do this. I'm calling you by name. I'm asking you to give up what you love the most, what you love doing the most. Give it to me. And when you do, I will make you fishers of men. And what's extremely interesting about the him promising to make them fishers of men is that a name of God in the Old Testament is fisher of men. It occurs four or five times in throughout the prophets. God's name, Jehovah, Yahweh, is also fisher of men. And what he's saying is this: when you give me what you love the most, you return it to me, recognizing that it's mine, I will be making you like I am. I will be transforming your life to be like mine. My character will be increasing within you. You'll become like me. And that would occur with absolutely anything. Anything that you do, what you are good at, when you give that back to Him, what He does with that process, that step, as He starts transforming you to be like Jesus. Which is where we're going anyway. Which is when He says, I want you to be my disciple, and I want you to be making disciples. That's where we're going. That's the end result. The target is that we become like Jesus. We become so much like Jesus that, like the Apostle John, when he was walking through heaven, saw one of the saints who had gone before, one of the Christians who had died before, mistook him for Jesus. You can check that out in Revelation 19. There's John seeing all kinds of angels. God, he walked with Jesus all those years. And then along comes this one walking through heaven, and he wants to worship him. And the guy says, whoa, 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 I'm not Jesus. John mistook him for Jesus. That's where we're going. That's our discipleship. That's what happens through when we're changed. That's what happens when we're challenged and we say yes to Jesus. That's what happens when the challenge that comes from Him is so deep, so pervasive, that we think, whoa, why are you telling me this? It's because I am calling you to be like me, Jesus says. That's where we're going. That very thing that you just love and you want it to be all yours and no one else's. Maybe you even have your own room for it. Man cave or whatever you call it. You give that to Him. You're saying yes to Him. And you're on that path of discipleship that He has called you onto. And it will touch every area of your life. Your spirituality, your relationships, your talents, all of it. It's all His anyway. That's what He's saying. Give it all back to me. Now, I think the question comes up, how do we do that? How do we go ahead with that? What are the steps? And the steps are the same as they would be for almost anything else in discipleship, which, of course, is our entire Christian life, a life of discipleship. And that's what we see in the first phrases of the gospel reading today, in which Jesus is quoted as saying, "The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God has come near, repent and believe." So there's two steps, repent and believe. And the step of repenting is where you catch what Jesus is saying to you. What is it that He said? He's tapped you on the shoulder, made something clear, put you in a circumstance, given you some position that now you need to lean on Him to get through it. Whatever it may be, that's the discernment, that's the finding, that's listening to Him, that's catching what He said. And then believing is a very active verb, and that's where you step out into what He's asked you to do. Catching what He said, and then doing what He asked you to do about it. That's how this works. That's how you become like Him. That's how the very thing you value and hold on to and feel priceless that He challenged you to give up, that's how you give it up. So that it comes back to you and it becomes the very thing, the very piece of your life in which others around you are invited into the family of God. I'm tempted to say much more, but I think that's pretty good right there. What is the thing you don't want to give to Jesus this morning? What do you not want Him to have? That's what He's tapping you on the shoulder about and saying, follow me. Give me that. And watch what we do with it together. Let's stand. During this moment, if you would call that to mind, that which you do not want to give up, and give it to Him, just in this moment of quiet and silence. Lord Jesus, we give You our hearts. We give You our souls. We give You everything about us. And we give You especially those things we want to hold on to and not give to You. We give them to You today for the glory of Your name. Amen.